Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
There is a tremendous verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." I want to concentrate with you today on the first part of this verse that says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged." Now, when you go through the Bible, you're going to find, at least we're going to talk about today, five places where iniquity is purged. And we're going to look at what it is that purges the iniquity. Obviously, we're going to study Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." But we're also going to look at four other passages where iniquity is purged to see what purges iniquity. And while we are going to talk about Proverbs 16:6, we're going to actually start with Psalm 79, verse 9. Psalm 79, verse 9. And in Psalm 79:9, we find that the first thing that purges iniquity is salvation. Proverbs 79, verse 9, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us," watch it, "and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." So the first thing that purges sin in our lives is salvation. Purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Well, the Bible says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And in Psalm 79, verse 9, Asaph is praising the God of our salvation. So getting saved will purge your sins. Getting saved will purge your soul of all sins for eternity. When you get saved, your record is clean forever. What happens basically is that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to the sins of your life, to your soul, and you are cleansed. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Jesus to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he literally took our place. He became the adulterer. He became the thief. He became the murderer. He became the blasphemer. He became the disobedient child. He became the covetous idolater or whatever. He became that and suffered for all the sins of all mankind committed in any category of sin that you find in life and that you find in the Bible. And so when you get saved, all that's already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are clean. Your record is clear. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who being, Hebrews 1, 3, "who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins," past tense, done, completed work of redemption at Calvary, "when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now that's tremendous. That is tremendous because it shows you in salvation that the work is completed as it concerns your soul. I'll tell you something else. There are people who have testified of an immediate deliverance from certain sins the moment that they got saved. This doesn't always happen. It may not have happened to you. I don't recall that it happened to me. But some folks testify of being delivered from things like drugs or things like alcohol, for instance, immediately upon receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sometimes that's the case. A person says, you know, I just cussed, and then I got saved. And I mean, from the moment of my salvation until now, that's just gone. But I've talked to other people who are saved, just as saved as you can be, and they say, you know, I'm still struggling with cussing, but I at least am feeling guilty about doing that. Okay, all right. See, some experience a deliverance or a purging, not only in their soul, but also in their flesh. And others, you know, some of these things take longer. May I tell you something? You're still going to deal with sin. And the Lord wants us to grow from our initial salvation and purging into full spiritual maturity. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, the point of this is when you get saved and you are purged and your record is clean, God doesn't want you just to say, oh boy, now I'm going to go do all these things because now I have the liberty to do these things and that's all taken care of at Calvary. No, he wants you to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, we have a large section of scripture to read all the way to verse 8, but listen. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. You see that growth? You see that maturity? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord wants us, after we get saved, to appropriate those exceeding great and precious promises, to partake of his divine nature, since we've escaped the corruptions that's in the world. Through the knowledge of him, he wants us, listen, to grow in through faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And he wants these things in us to abound so that we're not barren and we're not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? There are many Christians today, and you're not being judgmental if you can see what I'm saying, but there are many Christians today, they haven't appropriated these exceeding great and precious promises. It's not evident that they are partakers of the divine nature. They're carnal. And you know what the Lord says? Because this whole passage is leading to this one thought. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see what he's talking about here? He says, listen, once you get saved, I intend for you to grow, or you're going to get to a place where you forget that you were purged from your old sins. How do you forget? You go right back to them, or you become unfruitful. I've watched this in young people that haven't gained spiritual maturity. They're starting to grow. They're starting to learn doctrine. And then all of a sudden they're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And they go into the world and the world just seems to consume them in sin. You know what? They have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And salvation purges you from these sins so that you can then appropriate these exceeding great and precious promises of salvation and grow and grow and grow and continue to be purged from iniquity. Iniquity is, first of all, then purged by salvation. And if you're not saved by having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. But here's the second thing, and this is our initial text, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. The second thing that iniquity is purged by is mercy and truth. Mercy and truth will purge iniquity. Solomon wrote that, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You know what? You get mercy when you come to the Lord in truth according to his words. In other words, Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In another place, in John 15:3, he said, now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. So God is merciful to us and cleanses us. It purges us as the word is digested, as the word is read. I tell people, you cannot live as a Christian apart from a daily and regular reading and digestion of the word of God. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You're dealing with sin in your life. You're saved. You know you're saved, but you're not having any victory. And I'll tell you, you need mercy and truth. And you get the mercy when you come to God in truth. Because, listen, the Bible is what shows you what the iniquity is. You've got things going on in your life and you don't even realize they're sin. You start reading the Bible and God says, you see that right there? That in your life is a sin. And then you look at that and go, I had no idea. And then he purges that through the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He begins to change you so that you get away from that sin. And you find that you've received the mercy when you receive the truth. But I'm going to tell you something else about Proverbs 16:6. This verse also shows us that if you want mercy, you must be truthful with God when you come to him. You must be absolutely honest with God about your sin if you want mercy. You see, I know people today that want mercy. I have acquaintances, people that I've had the opportunity to minister to. And some are incarcerated. They want mercy, but they do not want to tell the truth. They do not want the truth to be known about what they've done. They do not want to deal with what they've done truthfully. They're not going to get mercy because iniquity is not purged by mercy and lie, by mercy and cover up. It's purged by mercy and truth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You know why? Because he doesn't get the mercy he's looking for. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We're looking for mercy, right? Then you have to confess. Confess simply means to tell God, you know what, God? I acknowledge that this thing in my life is sin. I agree with you that this thing in my life is not a personality disorder. This thing in my life is not just a little thing. I agree with you, Father, that this thing in my life is transgression. It is iniquity. It is sin. And I confess to you, Father, that I am going to forsake that sin by your grace, by your words. And you know what you'll have? Mercy. Mercy. Hypocrites, listen carefully. Hypocrites don't get mercy. And you're trying to be a hypocrite. You're trying to fake men and you're trying to fake God about what's going on in your life. And let me tell you something. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And he knows exactly what's going on. He doesn't judge by appearance. He judges righteous judgment. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And you're not fooling him. You're only fooling yourself. You are walking in the deceitfulness of sin. Those Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 were being excoriated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 23, you're hypocrites. In verse 25, you're hypocrites. In verse 27, you're hypocrites. Verse 28, hypocrisy. In verse 29, you're hypocrites. And you know what he said to those hypocrites? He said in Matthew 23:33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Hypocrites don't get mercy. You cannot lie to God. You cannot be untruthful about your sin and expect mercy. It will not happen. I know a fellow that told me the other day, he said, well, I have been honest with God. I'm just not being honest with everybody else. That's not honesty. That's not truth. You don't have to go around and tell other people what your sins are. But you run around like you didn't do something, like you are not guilty where you are guilty. There's no mercy for you. Iniquity is purged by mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged by salvation. And I'll show you something else. Iniquity is purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14. Iniquity is purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14. 13 is the context. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Watch this. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Iniquity is purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, here he's not saying that the iniquity is purged, but that your conscience is purged. Well, the reason that we're applying this to the purging of iniquity is this. Those old sins keep coming back in your conscience and present new temptations to commit the same old sins. And so the conscience needs to be purged. The sins are purged when you confess them, but when the conscience is purged, you can actually deal with them in your life. I mean, since we're talking about the purging of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, let's couple Hebrews 9:14 with 1 John 1:7-9. In 1 John 1:7-9, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see that? So the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse you from all sin. It does cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And one of the things he does with that blood is he purges your conscience. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is a cleansing agent to purge out that old sin that keeps coming back in your conscience. I mean, when old sins come up in your mind, when old sins come up in your conscience, you know what they do? They cause you to regret that you ever did that sin, that you ever thought that thought, that you ever said that sinful thing. They do. If you've lived any period of time at all before you got saved, you know that's so. But listen, when those old sins come up, they not only cause you to regret, but they also present themselves as fresh temptations to sin again. If you exposed your mind and your heart to wicked imaginations, they keep coming back, and they keep coming up in your conscience. And you know what you need to do? You know what you can do? You can apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to those iniquities, to your conscience, and the Lord will cleanse them. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, listen, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here's what you do. You just simply, when that temptation comes up, when that old thought comes up, when that sin burns back into that conscience that had been weakened by sin, you just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just tell the Lord, get that sin out of there. Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wash it. And he'll do it. I heard a preacher one time say, and you may have heard me say this, but I'm going to tell you again in case you haven't. He said, when you've got something like that hampering you, one of those things comes up in your mind again, and you're having a hard time shaking it, here's what you do. Because these are usually secret things, here's what he said to do. Imagine that your mind, your conscience, is now a vast billboard right in front of the throne of God. And you just post that thing up there right in front of God's throne. He sees it anyway. Just purge it, put it right up there in front of God's throne and say, now, God, I don't want this thought anymore. And if you don't like this thought, purge it out of there with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, miraculously, the Lord will cover that thing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that thought, that wicked imagination, that secret thing will just go away. You may have to do it again this afternoon. You may have to do it again tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you what, every time you plead, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that same blood that saved your soul, that same blood that purged your soul of all sins for eternity, is the same blood that will purge that conscience and purge out that sin so you don't deal with it. It's gone. It is gone the moment you plead the blood. Iniquity is purged by salvation. Iniquity is purged by mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged by the blood of Christ. And I'll tell you something else. Very practically speaking, iniquity is purged by getting sin out of your life. I mean, it's just a very practical, very obvious, but sometimes overlooked thing. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and look at verse 3. 2 Chronicles 34, 3. In the eighth year of his reign, talking about the reign of Josiah, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now look, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Do you see that? In the 12th year of Josiah's reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. What? From all this idolatry, high places, groves, carved images, molten images. And he kept that going all the way until the 18th year of his reign. Verse 8, 2 Chronicles 34, 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, then he did these other things. So you know what you can do? You can purge your life of these sins and sinful things. Let's say you have a trouble with alcohol. Get the booze out of the bar. Get the beer out of the refrigerator. Let's say you're having trouble with tobacco. Get the cigarettes out of your house, out of your drawer, out of your car, out of your office. Get them out of there. Don't stop at the convenience store anymore. Let's say that you're having trouble with pornography. Get rid of the computer. Get rid of the television. Get rid of the magazines. Get rid of everything that feeds that. Get it out of your house. Let's say you're having trouble with music. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your car. Cancel the Sirius radio or the satellite radio or whatever it is you do. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Now, in this case, it took him from the 12th year to the 18th year to clean up all the mess that was going on. And you know what you're going to find in your life? You say, I'm having trouble with music. I'm going to get that out of my life. Get it out of your life. But then you're going to find there was something else in that closet. And you're like, got to get that out of there. And then there's something else in your closet. Got to get that out of there. And it may take you a while. It took him 6 years. It may take you a while to get some of that stuff. But may I tell you what? You can, through the Spirit of God, mortify the deeds of your body. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 13, look. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. So the Lord says, get that stuff out of there. If ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So just get the things out of your life that are causing this idolatry, that are causing this sin. Deal with the underlying cause. You go to the doctor, you say, Doc, I've got a problem. I got a cold. Give me some antibiotics. It gives you antibiotics. And next week you come back and you got another one. Because you keep going back and receiving the germs from somebody else who is sick. You know what the doctor says? Hey, quit going over there and infecting yourself with that stuff. You have to cut off relationships. You have to cut off things. You have to cut off stuff in your life that causing this. If you've got friends who are taking you places and going places and talking about things that are leading you into sin in your life, cut those things off. Make some separation. Get the sin out of your life. That's what purges it. And then finally, let me say this. Iniquity is purged by salvation. You get saved, those old sins are off your soul. Mercy and truth. Deal with the Lord truthfully. He'll give you mercy. The blood of Jesus Christ. Apply it to those thoughts immediately when they come up. By practically getting the sinful things out of your life. And then finally this, by hell. Iniquity is purged by hell. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, look at this. in verse 12. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know what the chaff is? That's people that are lost. You know what the wheat is that's gathered into his garner? That's people that are saved. And he would take those lost people, and he's going to burn them, listen, with unquenchable fire. And that's going to purge his floor. That's going to purge that iniquity. Catholics have the idea of purgatory, and they have the idea of purgatory wrong. I know this. I grew up Catholic. I'm very familiar with the doctrine. The idea is that if you don't die in the state of grace, and there's some grace and there's some unconfessed sin in your life and so forth and so on, you're going to go spend a little time in purgatory. I'm going to tell you, listen very carefully. Listen, do not miss this if that's something you believe. If you spend 1 second in the fire, you will be there forever. Get it. You're listening now to truth and Bible doctrine, not religious error. Listen carefully. If you spend even 1 millisecond in the fire, you will be there forever. Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11. Listen, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, I realize we're reading a passage that deals with the tribulation, but listen, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. You can't wait till you die for your sins to be purged. Your sins must be purged now by the blood of Jesus Christ through his finished work in salvation. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ now, and his salvation will purge your sins now, and you'll never see the fire.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.